Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of 2 clinically studied ingredients in 1 revolutionary formula. Berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just 2 capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Hi, listeners. Welcome back. I'm Nedra Glover Tawab, and you need to hear this. In our relationships, we may not notice when we are acting out resentment, and we might not even know what it feels like to be resentful of things that have happened in our relationship. But today we will listen to a call that is rooted in resentment. I want you to think of situations when someone has harmed you and you didn't talk about it in the relationship and you continue to be in those relationships. It's not that we can't move through situations that occur in our relationships, but it is really important that we work on the repair of those things. And it's important that we talk about the cost of certain things happening in our relationships. Sometimes we don't want to move on, and sometimes we do, but bring that to the relationship. Don't keep it to yourself. It's not your stuff. If it's impacting you because of this other person, it is a relationship issue.
Hello. So my parents have been married for 51 years now and are in their early 70s. Over the past 6 years, my mom has been having bouts of rage that have been increasing in frequency and anger. This rage is directed at past transgressions and trauma from my dad early in their marriage, from an on-again, off-again affair that spanned about 8 years. My dad was a binge drinker. I'd consider him an alcoholic, but has been clean for decades, minus one or two slip-ups. During these rage bouts, my mom is not someone I know, and she has exhibited nasty, abusive behavior, not only towards my father, but my brothers and I also. Example being, she made prints of a photo she saved of this woman and put them in picture frames all over the house. She sent me a text photo and said my haircut resembled the woman. She never apologizes for her actions, anger, or behavior. She also falls into a depression and will not speak to us for however long or respond to texts.
This is the resentment we were talking about. When we don't address things, it may take years for those things to come up. We think that we are saving the relationship by sitting with this stuff, by stewing in our emotions without trying to bring this other person in. And here it is, you know, many years later. And this person's mom is like, you know what? This stuff happened to me no matter how many years ago it happened. I am upset. I was upset then and I'm upset now. And maybe because of the father's alcoholism, he wasn't willing to be accountable and couldn't accept what was happening at that time. But certainly now, you know, he's able to listen and, you know, he's not drinking anymore. And it sounds like he's taking some of this by staying in the relationship. So now she's able to say, now I can hold you accountable. All of those years ago, I had to keep it to myself, but I am angry and I've felt that way for so many years. One of the things that I think we should wonder about if we are experiencing resentment, either for allowing something in a relationship, being such a caring person that we're overgiving, having some issue with another person, when we're experiencing resentment, we have to explore what's under that. Am I sad? Am I disappointed? Am I angry? What is going on? What's fueling this resentment? Often I find that it is a mixture of disappointment, sadness, and anger, right? Like, you know, but if we could just prioritize, what is the biggest feeling I'm dealing with right now? I am disappointed that this person who I love and who I'm still with had this other relationship. I feel betrayed. And even though they're here now, I had to share a part of them for whatever length of time. And when we feel this, what do I want to do? Not how do I want to continue to push it down, but what do I want to do in this relationship? What conversations do I need to have? Is it appropriate to ever bring your kids into stuff? And I know sometimes we think like, oh, once your kids are adults, you can just tell them anything. They're an adult. But if it's a relationship between two parents, it's like, that's still their parent. That's still, you know, this person's dad. They don't want to hear these things. And I'm not saying you have to call all your friends or, you know, this sort of thing. But the person who could really help you through this is there. Your partner is there to, you know, hold you as you cry about this and maybe make some decisions about what the relationship can be like in light of this affair, because it's very clear that there's so much anger and so many actions that are coming up that, you know, for many years they weren't dealt with. And here it is, you know, all these years later. And it's like, you know what? 20 years ago, this thing happened. And I'm not willing to let it go. I also want to speak about how much information the caller is getting from her parents to know that, you know, there was an 8-year long relationship and that her mom has these pictures. Our protection as parents does not stop when our kids turn 18. There are still boundaries that we need to have in those relationships. They don't become this open space for telling everything and sharing everything. Now, you can get a little more lax in some areas. Maybe there are some things that you can communicate, but, you know, most adults don't want too many details on their parents' sex life. And quite honestly, kids are protective of parents. You know, I'm sure this caller feels a way about her father having this infidelity on her mother. Like, there has to be some sadness there. But, you know, I think how it's shared certainly characterizes how everyone around you responds. And sometimes when we are hurt, we want people to see us as the victim and to see this other person as a perpetrator, as a terrible person, as a mean person. And to that extent, you know, maybe we do a little bit of oversharing. So when you're feeling something, even if your kids are adults, you have to be mindful of appropriate boundaries. And that might mean, you know, phoning a friend. It might mean talking to another family member on your side, preferably. It might mean, you know, getting some therapy to work through this stuff. You know, because quite honestly, it sounds like this has been an over-talked about topic. So Does anybody in your life want to hear you talk about this same thing in the same way? Maybe no. But you know who love to hear it? A therapist. Why? Their whole job is to listen. So finding someone outside of the family to hear about this could be really helpful. The second thing I notice here is, are we clear of what depression looks like? Because I think we have this idea that depression is staying in your bed. You don't want to go anywhere. You're sad all the time. But guess what? A symptom of depression is rage. It is anger. I've seen it a ton in women where they have anger outbursts, where, you know, they have these really big emotional confrontations with people, really centered around some feelings of depression. You know, depression makes you feel powerless in some ways. And what does anger make you feel powerful? And so sometimes that depression, it can shift and it can turn into like, I've got the power. So I got to tell these people, I'm going to yell and scream. I'm tired of being walked over. So a sign of depression could be rage. And so without having some sort of mental health resource here, I would say that, you know, that could be a function of the depression. The last thing I want to highlight from what we just heard is, and I'm going to repeat the line here, she never apologizes for her actions, anger, or behavior. I don't know about you, but if I get about two or three apologies for the same thing and I start to notice that, you're not really trying to change this, you just want to smooth things over with this apology, I have said to people, you know, I understand you're trying to smooth this over, or you know, you want us to move on. But what I'm noticing here is you're using an apology as a way to keep going instead of a way to change your behavior. So even if your mother apologizes, it doesn't mean that her behavior will change. She will say, I'm sorry for this thing, and then she will do this thing again next week. So I wonder for you, what does this apology signify? Because it doesn't sound like it's signifying change behavior, maybe an acknowledgement of what she's done. But, you know, in some ways, perhaps she's already doing that. You know, maybe she is like, you know, whatever, this is me. So it sounds like you want more than an apology. You want her to change her behavior around this thing with your dad. You want her to not have as many explosions and outbursts with you and others. Let's take a break. And when we get back, we'll get back into this letter.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique 2-in-1 product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
Hi, I'm Cindy Crawford, and I'm the founder of Meaningful Beauty. When Dr. Sabah and I decided to do a skincare line together, he said to me, we are going to give women meaningful beauty. And I said, that's exactly right. We want to give women meaningful beauty, which means each and every product is meaningful. It has a reason to exist. It's efficacious. You're going to get results. And then you just go out and live your life.
Meaningful beauty. Confidence is beautiful. Learn more at meaningfulbeauty.com.
Well, this past Mother's Day was the second one she exhibited this behavior and was extremely passive-aggressive towards my dad, making comments in her conversation with my children, who are 13 and 11 years old. When I decided to leave the visit from the discomfort, she proceeded to put guilt trips on the kids that her home isn't as fun as their other grandparents. I left, warned my brothers, and moved on. Well, the following week, I was supposed to take her to a cooking class I had gotten as her Mother's Day gift, and she asked me to pick her up as she is disabled from previous health complications. On that day, as I waited to help her down the stairs, I watched her smack my dad twice in the face, unprovoked. I lost my temper and yelled at them, saying, "This is ridiculous! Something is wrong!" So again, this pattern has been occurring for 6 years. My mom then got mad at me and refused to go to the class, even mailing me cash in an envelope to cover the cost a week later. I messaged her I was sorry for yelling. It's hard seeing them both hurting, and suggested some therapy or counseling individually or together. Well, fast forward 2 weeks later, my dad comes over. The weekly visit became a regular as she sent him over to tell me all about the affair, again, like the first time, and then kept sending him over for details he left out, even after I said I didn't want any information. Also, she was enraged that I even suggested therapy. And during all this, continued to be abusive towards my father, to where he was afraid to sleep. Then under this abuse, he starts spilling life secrets, which aren't good, and makes him call myself and my brothers. I had stated I cannot deal with this any longer, and haven't spoken to them, or her in particular, since. While my dad kept trying to come over, which created terrible anxiety for me in my own home, and my husband finally stepped in and said I need time. Unknown time, but time. My dad cried and left.
As a clinical social worker, I will say the biggest thing for me to listen to is I watched her smack him twice in the face, unprovoked. I'm hearing some adult abuse here. Now, whether you want to address it or you want to bring someone in, I wonder what can you do in a situation when your mother is hitting your father? Have you talked to other family members about what some options might be? Because it seems like it could be a domestic violence situation for the two of them. And I don't know if it's, you know, like if I see something like this, I'll call the police. You know, I don't know what that boundary could be. Hey, if I see you hitting him, I will, you know, call the police. Or, hey, if I see you hitting him, I will intervene. But it is unfortunate for you as a child of, you know, your parents to witness your mom hitting your dad. And if she's doing it in front of you, oh gosh, what is she doing in private? How long has this been going on? Like, there are so many things here. And unfortunately, I'm hearing that your dad has bought into the shaming of him. You know, he's coming over to your house and he's telling you these horrible details. I'm sure she's at home telling him what a piece of whatever he is and how awful he is for this stuff, to the point that perhaps he thinks he deserves this smack. Perhaps he thinks that what your mom is doing is not a big deal. But I will say this. I know of a person who wasn't particularly a great mom. And she has a daughter who I have said, I think, you know, some of the things that are happening, it's a bit abusive when you start cursing people out, when you start demeaning them and trying to shame them and being persistent about, you know, sharing these stories in a very negative and derogatory way. It's like, how much of this is processing and how much of this is harming another person? I think you can process it. And maybe sometimes we do bring people into our process. But if we're processing it with them every day, if we're calling them names and hitting them and being really derogatory, it's teetering on abuse. I don't even want to say teetering. It's abusive. And although he did this thing and it's, you know, a very impactful thing, it's not what he deserves for what he did. He doesn't deserve to be hit. He doesn't deserve to have to share these personal details, personal and private details with his children. He doesn't deserve this sort of behavior as a consequence to his 8-year-long off again, on again affair. Like, I wonder if the consequences, you know, maybe dealing with the challenges in his marriage. It sounds like they have some issues with this more than you have an issue with this. Let's look at this next point. When your dad is coming over, you're getting this terrible anxiety, which is unfortunately one of the reasons that people tend to have estrangements in families. It gets to a point where you are now uncomfortable in this person's presence. There's been so much toxic energy or so many assaults and offenses in the relationship that just the thought of them, just being in their presence, creates a certain level of anxiety. You're tired of handling situation after situation with them. Or sometimes you're tired of having to repeat boundaries. And the only outcome that you could see working is, I can't be in this relationship with this person. I've asked them to stop telling me this. I've asked them, you know, don't come over, to give me time. And when people continue to push, it actually pushes you further away. It doesn't pull you closer. I know that many of us think this is a strategy, like, oh my gosh, if I, you know, wear them down, if I keep calling them, if I go over unannounced, it doesn't give what you're trying to get this person to receive. It's scaring them. It's making them more anxious. It's causing them to have some depression about being out of control in this relationship. And so the situation with your dad and you fully having to withdraw, I know that that was a very hard one for you, because it sounds like through all of this, you've really tried to maintain this connection with your mother and your father. And it sounds like in some ways, it's getting worse. It's not getting better. So there may need to be some legal intervention. You know, I think we often say to people, you need to go to therapy, but we don't talk enough about what happens when we tell people to go to therapy and they're not ready to go. I've been on the receiving end of that, where someone is in therapy and they're really not in therapy. They're there to please other people. So they're not being honest, or they're sharing how terrible you are. They're not open to any information. They're highly defensive with the therapist, just all these other problems. So it's not like telling someone to go to therapy can really change them. They have to be willing to do that work. And your mom may not be willing to do that work to move through her challenges with this affair and staying with him. I can imagine that she is mostly upset with herself for staying in this situation. And so if I'm upset with me, I'm going to give you all of my pain to hold. In my book, Drama Free, I talk about unforgiveness, or, you know, toxic forgiveness, that sometimes we aren't really forgiving people. We're staying in these relationships with them and we are being passive aggressive. We are, you know, sometimes being aggressive, which is the case with your parents. I do hear some passive aggressiveness, but I'm hearing a lot of aggression from your mom's perspective. And I think, you know, maybe checking out my book and reading more about what toxic forgiveness is and kind of understanding that, that could be helpful. In addition to Drama Free, I'm thinking of a book called Overcoming Passive Aggressiveness. this book is really helpful because it does center around the anger of passive aggressiveness. And I know what you're thinking, like, yes, this will be a great book for my mom to read. It would be great for her to read drama free. These are great books for you to read to better understand the person with the problems. Your mom did not write this letter. She may not go to therapy. If she does, she may not do the things that you want her to do. But the better you can understand her process, her perspective, you might be able to have a higher level of compassion. And with that compassion, I'm not saying you have to be in the relationship or anything like that, but you certainly can understand her point of view and why she's displaying her pain in this way. It won't make it okay. It's not like, oh, okay, if I understand it, it'll make it better. No. But again, that compassion of, oh, I see how a person could respond this way when they're really upset and they haven't felt like they are a powerful source, not just in this area, but I'm sure many other spaces. You know, this is just one place where your mom has felt powerless. And I wonder how that has shown up in other instances in her life. And this is just the person who's willing to take the pain of it.
In September, she called out of the blue, as if everything was fine, and asked me to go furniture shopping. Since they are blocked from my devices, I had my husband say that I appreciate the invite, but do not feel ready to engage, and I haven't since. While my dad has stopped by numerous times to drop off treats she makes for my kids, as I do allow him to text my son, and has asked me to call my mother. I can't. I just don't feel ready. I personally think there are other cognitive problems at the base of this, and both of them refuse to seek outside help or are honest with their doctors about what is happening. I feel terrible as my parents are not bad people. They both grew up in neglected, abusive homes in very different ways. I don't know how to move forward with them when the pattern they exhibit shows zero signs of changing. I miss them and struggle with feeling like I've abandoned them in their time of need. I would appreciate any advice on maneuvering this. At this point, I'm in no contact, and that has been helpful to an extent. But the pop-up visits and requests to reach out make it flare up to a panic. I have issues even answering my home phone now out of fear of what is on the other end. I have sought out my own therapy as well to help me process. I guess I just didn't think doing the right thing for my emotional safety would be so hard.
As I'm hearing this, I am noticing a need for you to grieve the loss of the relationship with your parents as you knew it. You know, if this is a health issue, which, you know, sometimes as, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's and those sorts of things present itself, you know, some of these behaviors may start to appear. So if you're feeling like, oh, there is some cognitive issue, whether it's on the spectrum of dementia or something else, there may come a point where you and your siblings need to intervene. And I understand that you have, you know, this idea of them getting better with this, but I don't know if they can be better together. If you're noticing that, you know, your mom is having more of cognitive impairment than your father, you know, I would wonder if you can sort of treat those relationships separately. I'm thinking about what can boundaries look like for each of them, not them collectively. Perhaps there is space in the relationship with your father for you to have some sort of relationship with him. And he might adhere to, you know, some strict boundaries around, we're not talking about mom, we're not doing this, we're not doing that, but I want to meet you at this restaurant and just talk to you about, you know, life and me and your grandchild. Perhaps that's possible, right? I'm hearing a lot of anxiety around your parents still not respecting your boundaries. And it sounds like you've done some pretty extensive things like, you know, blocking them from your phone. I don't have a home phone anymore, so I don't even know if you could block people from that. I'm going to venture to say maybe not. But there is caller ID. However, people can call private. So I think there is a lot to think about in terms of what the boundaries can look separately in your relationships with them, because there may need to be some level of monitoring if this is a cognitive problem. And you don't have to do it. You know, you have a brother. So talking to your brother about what support in this situation could look like would be really helpful. I mean, it doesn't even have to be you all. Perhaps there's another family member or someone you can hire to maybe kind of step in when needed. So think about your options there. I am happy to hear that you are going to therapy for yourself, because this is a lot to process, especially when you didn't grow up with your parents being this way and you're witnessing this decline. That is very sad to see, that these parents that you've looked up to, who have been, you know, healthier versions of themselves cognitively or, you know, lifestyle wise, they're having many, many challenges that it sounds like, you know, it's a burden to you to some extent, and you may not be prepared or equipped to address it. And I don't want you to feel like it's your obligation to do it. And that's why I said, bring in other people. Like, what does community care look like? Sometimes as our parents are aging, it can be a lot to deal with depression that results in anger, aggressiveness, more passive aggressiveness. This is a common thing that I hear with people, that as their parents start to have more physical and mental health issues, maybe related to their age or lifestyle, that yes, I want to care for you and I want to be here for you, but I don't want to be, you know, cussed out in the process of doing it. I don't want to have to get into a fight with you. I don't want to hear your chatter about, you know, all of these very mean things. So it can be very uncomfortable to try to be in relationship with a person in this way. And it sounds like you have opted out. You're not asking my permission to be in or out of the relationship. My assumption is that you are seeking some support around the decision you've made. And what I can say is, this is a hard decision, and some hard decisions for us, it is the necessary one. When we get to a space of having mental health issues related to our relationships with other people, we're having anxiety, we're having hair loss, we're having stomach issues, we are now depressed, we are having psychotic episodes because of these relationships, we do owe ourselves to evaluate if we want to be in those relationships. Now, you know, there are options here. We could go, you know, no contact, we could go low contact, we could go perennial contact. You know, I think there are so many options for how we want to be in those relationships. And so just thinking about, you know, this is something I want to keep my hands on, but I don't want to be all in, that might be an option for someone and not an option for you. So considering your needs, you are making this choice. And I can't think of any more boundaries with your phone situations. It sounds like you've said a lot. And I think the really unfortunate part is that your parents won't listen to this and they keep trying to press and pursue. And that is their problem, not yours. I'm sure they want to be in relationship, but they're also not willing to do the work to be in the relationship. They want you to be in the relationship as it is. And sometimes that doesn't work for us. Sometimes we want better for ourselves. You need to hear this. When you are in a relationship and you decide, oh, I want better for myself, this person is causing me now to have lifestyle issues, to have mental health issues. They're causing problems in my other relationships. I want better for myself in the relationships that I am pursuing, in the relationships I'm giving my energy to. You have the right to choose something else. And I know that it is really hard to even consider not being in some really difficult relationships for us. But sometimes it is better. It is better. It's better for us to consider our options, whether that option is low contact, to pull other people in, to get really creative about protecting ourselves in these relationships. You have the right to choose other options. You Need to Hear This is an iHeart production hosted by me, Nedra Glover Tawab. Our executive producer is Joelle Bonique. Our senior producer and editor is Mia Dawn Taylor. Send us a voice memo with your questions about boundaries and relationships at youneedtohearthis@iheartmedia.com. Please be sure to rate our show wherever you listen to it and share this episode with someone who needs to hear this. Talk to you next time.
Tired of endless diets and weight loss struggles? It's time to say goodbye to frustration and hello to results. Introducing Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD, your breakthrough solution to fight stubborn body fat. Imagine burning fat, balancing glucose levels, and regulating metabolism in just 12 weeks. This unique two-in-one product combines the power of two clinically studied ingredients in one revolutionary formula: berberine, which targets abdominal fat, and OEA, which curbs your appetite. With just two capsules a day, Smart Metabolic Burn by BrainMD can kickstart your metabolism, fight stubborn body fat, especially that pesky abdominal fat, and support your weight management journey. Right now, save over 30% on Smart Metabolic Burn at GetSmartBurn.com. The lowest price anywhere. That's GetSmartBurn.com. Don't delay. Transform your life with Smart Metabolic Burn from BrainMD. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. Our products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Do you dream of a healthier life, but education feels out of reach? Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School of Natural Health makes holistic education accessible with online programs to fit your busy schedule. Trinity School's Certified Natural Health Professional Program is the perfect entry point to gain foundational knowledge to empower yourself, your family, and your community to live healthier lives. Turn your passion into a career. Visit trinityschool.org for more info now.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notified, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.